Why don't you turn to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a minute, but I believe this verse should be a rhema for most of us. If you don't know what that is, that means that verse is going to come alive in your spirit. Well, let's pray. By the way, Bonnie's doing good. Doctor had a good report on Friday. So. Hallelujah. She'll be back with us full long. Probably with a scooter, but she's dangerous with that thing. My boxer dog, she runs every time it comes around. Yeah. I hadn't learned that yet. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Give you glory, Lord. This is the day you made. We rejoice in it. Father, I ask that your words today just penetrate our heart. We bind Satan from robbing anything. Let your truth not be hidden, but let it just be revealed to us, Lord. And we give you praise. Lord, let all things be done decently and in order. And we emphasize all. Let all things be done today. Lord, use me as your instrument. Not my will, but your will, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we started a series about our service in the kingdom of God. And today, I'd like to continue and expand on those thoughts. I probably jumped the gun last week because I should have preached this message first. But regardless, I believe the truths we discussed this morning will certainly bless you as we discover our part of the miracle walk with God. I'm believing in miracles. I believe in miracles.
Amen.
Amen. Now, your Christian service comes in many forms, many forms. Last week, I reminded you that our service to God involves ministry not only inside this house, but outside that house as well. Amen. Amen. And this week, the message much more personal as I focus on the preparation for service and consequently, your walk with God. Amen? Now, go to Galatians chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 9. Amen. Galatians 3 and verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Just as Abraham was blessed because of his great faith, so are you blessed according to your faith. Abraham had many blessings. Remember the passage in Scripture about Abraham's blessings. He's blessed in the field and blessed in the store. He is above and not beneath. All of those blessings are yours because of faith.
Amen.
Come on. That should give somebody jumping room. And because we don't expect that same treatment that Abraham got. But the Bible declares that because of your faith, you're blessed like Abraham. Wow. Let me say that backwards. Wow. Well, that's good. So your blessing isn't dependent on God. He's already promised the faithful to be blessed. You're blessed if you have faith. You're blessed if you operate in faith. You're blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says this, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" In your service to others, you'll find that blessings come as you operate in faith. And yet, not faith alone, but faith and works operating side by side. This morning, I want to show you a spiritual equation that can transform your life if you will allow this truth to become alive in you. Go ahead with that slide, Sister Susie. Faith and works equals miracles. Faith and works equals miracles. Now get that down in your spirit. Go ahead with the next one. No faith plus works equals no miracles. No faith plus works equals no miracles. One more time. Faith, no works, equals no miracles. Y'all seeing this? Faith and works equals miracles. No faith, no works, no miracles. All of you looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. How many here need some miracles in your life? Amen. How many here need a miracle in their family? Amen. Amen. How many here would like to see miracles for others you know and love? Amen. 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 But how many of you right now see miracles happen all the time because you initiated them? Well, if you're ready to move for God to move in your life in an exciting new way, you must be willing to do new things. Your blessing isn't dependent upon God. Like I said, He's already promised the blessings. Right? But notice how the Scripture gives this directive to us, saying, faith without works is dead. Therefore, if you faithfully follow God's instructions, your blessings and your miracles will become evident. Two things are necessary to produce change. Two things are necessary to invoke a miracle. These two things are information and application. Information and application. I'm giving you information last week, this week, and the weeks to come, but it's you that have to do the application. You're the ones that have to put that information to work, right? To work. How many of you know that doing the same thing in the same way will produce the same results? Yep. Amen. So then it would be logical that doing new things will produce new results. Amen. Doing the same things in the same way and expecting a different outcome is the definition of insanity. Consequently, it becomes expedient for us to do something different to obtain a different result. Hallelujah. Let's look at a practical example. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? How many of you wouldn't get in one if you were paid to? Nobody here? Wow. Do you realize that if someone hadn't decided to do things differently, we wouldn't have airplanes? Amen. Amen? Orville and Wilbur Wright, two courageous men with a vision, a new mindset, produced a new result on December 17, 1903. That was the first powered and controlled flight. When we went to Greenfield Village in Detroit last year, Bonnie and I saw Orville and Wilbur Wright's actual home where they grew up as children, and then we saw their actual bicycle shop where they worked and invented the airplane. Really neat. Well, if you're ready for God to move in your life, then we got to think about some things, don't we? We have to think about some things. Amen. Charles Dolphus, a man who lived during Orville and Wilbur Wright's era, made this statement. It is therefore incontestably the Wright brothers alone who resolved in its entry the problems of human mechanical flight. Men of genius, exact in their reasoning, hard workers, outstanding experimenters, and unselfish, they changed the face of the globe. Amen. Now, do you think we can learn anything spiritually from the Wright brothers? Well, let's see. Let's see. Number one, the Wright brothers had a vision for doing things differently. Had a vision for doing things differently. How about us? Do we have a vision of doing something different than just having church as usual? Do we envision worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? Do we anticipate His presence and power among us? Number two, the Wright brothers made the decision that it was time to do things differently. Made the decision. Do we believe that it's time to do some things differently? Have we been stuck in a rut? Are we ready to come out of the rut? It's decision time. Number three, the Wright brothers believed that they could alter man's normal thinking concerning human flight. Through Jesus, we have that ability. We have to quit believing in our weaknesses and start believing that through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Amen? And through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God will bring great change in our life. Number four, the Wright brothers made the decision that they were the ones to bring change. They were the ones. Let me clue you in this morning. God has chosen you to bring about spiritual change in League City and the surrounding communities. Agree with God and determine that He will use you. He will use you to bring change. Number five, the Wright brothers were determined to work until man was flying in the sky. Is there anybody here today who is willing to take some action? Folks, there are three types of people in the world. Those who are ignorant to what's happening, those who watch things happen, and those who make things happen. Which group do you fall into? Number six, the Wright brothers refused to give up, no matter what. They refused to give up. It doesn't matter what we're facing this morning. We're not quitting. Amen. We're not quitting. The devil might back us up, but we'll press forward again. The devil might push us over, but we'll rise up once again. We refuse to give up. Amen. We're not quitting. And number seven, the Wright brothers were ready to do whatever was necessary to achieve their vision. What about us? Are we willing to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, follow the Lord? Are we willing to sacrifice, to pray, to fast, to seek the Lord? Now, how long did the first flight last? 12 seconds. How far did the plane fly? 120 feet. Not much, but they proved it could be done. Today we think of nothing about flying 12 to 14 hours to the other side of the world. Things done differently produce new results. Faith plus works equals miracles. Faith plus works equals miracles. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 through 31, if you want to turn there. Matthew 29, or 14, verse 29. Are you there? So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt? O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, there's a whole boatload of people in this world that appear to be God's finest, but I wonder how many of them would get out of the boat. There's a lot of people that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know them. I know them. But remember, folks, faith and works equals miracles. Faith and works equals miracles. People who truly believe God's word concerning miracles are few and far between. Many say they do, but the truth is most of us are just like the disciples, and we don't want to leave our comfort zone. We have a comfort zone that we dearly love. We love it. We can't imagine getting out of the boat and facing the obstacles that loom before us. Just let me be here in my recliner. Just let me decide what I need to do and when I need to do it. Just let me be where I'm comfortable. Now, I think all of us know that the Lord can stir up our nest when he wants to. He certainly got the attention of the disciples by using this storm. If you feel like you're in a storm today, like the waves are crashing over your boat and you feel like you're sinking, you need to take a step of faith out of your boat and trust God. Trust God. In spite of what you see, you can put your faith to work through the act of simply trusting God. Our biggest problem is we won't get out of the boat. The boat is our comfort zone, but if the boat is sinking, then it's time to trust God. It's time to leave the boat, right? Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord ever rocked your boat? During the disciples' calamity, Jesus came walking on the water. How many of us realize that things start changing when Jesus shows up? Amen? And how many of us realize that the Lord's always on time? One thing is for sure, if you don't step out of the boat, you'll never personally experience the miracle that the Lord has for you. So what do you think Peter did? Do you think he ran to the front of the boat and did a high dive? No. No. I believe Peter lifted one old hairy leg of faith and put it over the side of the boat. And then he lifted another old hairy leg of works over the edge of the boat, and he began to walk outside of his comfort zone. With each step of faith and works, it becomes harder and harder to distinguish between the two because they will eventually become one. Faith plus works equals miracles. Now, I must ask, what held Peter up? Did the water suddenly freeze?
Yes.
Did Jesus turn gravity off?
No.
What held him up? The same thing that holds us up in perilous times. Faith. Faith. When everything is falling apart, there's something we stand on called faith. Somebody please hear this good news today. You need to hear it. No matter what is wrong, no matter how black the storm clouds, no matter how bleak the outlook, Jesus can fix it. Faith and works equals miracles. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Can we see faith? Taste it? Hold it? Smell it? What's holding up Peter as he walks on the water? A substance. What is that substance? Faith. Are you with me? Is water a substance? Yes. What's it made of? Hydrogen and oxygen, H2O. Is water a celestial heavenly or a terrestrial earthly substance? Of course, it's terrestrial. Is faith a substance? Hebrews 11:1 says it is. What's it made of? A secure hope in God. Amen? Is faith a celestial or a terrestrial substance? It's supernatural, so it's celestial. Let's dig a little deeper. Does water always react the same way to temperature? Since the beginning of creation, it's been acting in a certain way, right? Does it freeze and boil at a fixed temperature? Yes. Does it always act in the same way? Yes. How long has this substance been acting this way? Forever. Forever. Is there ever a time that water didn't act the way it always has? No. Never been a time. So what about faith? Does it produce the same results? How long has it been acting the same way? Since before creation. Amen. Is there ever a time when faith does not act the way it's supposed to act? No. Has faith ever let a man or woman of God down? No. So when water meets faith, who wins? Faith. When our problems and sicknesses meet faith, who wins, folks? Faith wins. Hallelujah. Y'all getting this? Faith plus works equals miracles.
Amen.
Miracles. If we want God to work in our lives in new ways, we must be willing to do new things.
Amen.
Amen. Our acts of service to God and to others need to change. They need to change. Now, let's get back to Peter. Where was he walking? Was he going to church? Was he going to work? No, he was walking to Jesus. Walking to Jesus. Anybody here headed toward Jesus?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is anybody going to take a step of faith toward your miracle during this service? No response at all. Something happened to Peter when he took that first step. The water began to splash into his eyes. He couldn't see clearly. His circumstances stressed him out. He lost his connection with the Master. I wonder if anybody here has ever stepped out for God and when things didn't happen as fast as they thought they should, or there were some obstacles, we became afraid. I have. Isn't that kind of normal? That's the same thing that happened to Peter. It wasn't gravity that was dragging Peter down into the water. It was his fear and doubt that made him sink. Now, please understand, when you start to sink in your storm, God is only a whisper away. When we need him, he's there for us. When we're in trouble, he's our defender. When we are sick, he's our healer. When we're distressed, he's our peace. When we are weary, he's our strength. When we're broke, he's our supply. When we are facing crisis, he is our lifeline. Does anybody feel the presence of the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. Desperation, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me. Save me." Psalm 86, verse 7. "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me." Jeremiah 33, 3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So Jesus is saying, call to me. Call to me. Jesus. Jesus. In Genesis chapter 18, God and Abraham are talking, and God promises Abraham a son. Sarah heard this, and she begins to laugh. So God asks Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? Why is Sarah laughing? Then God said in chapter 18, verse 14, he said this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? Nothing. Is there anyone here that is experiencing something that's too hard for the Lord?" Peter cried out, and the Bible said, and immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Would you rather have a 911 operator or Jesus on the other end of that crisis, that hotline? That's what I thought. Amen. So why was Peter sinking? He started out so good. He applied faith and works and equaled miracles, and he walked on the water. Walked on the water. What happened to Peter is what happens to every one of us. Everyone. Peter's doubt rising up from his sight and his senses overcame his faith. Amen? It overcame his faith. But what else did Peter's doubt do? It magnified the size and the force of the waves and the wind. Our doubt makes our obstacles and difficulties look bigger than they actually are. So what are we going to do, folks? Things are in a mess, and compared to what is coming, we haven't seen anything yet. Are we going to look at our circumstances, or are we going to keep magnifying the problem? Are we going to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the God of all dominion and authority, power and provision? Where will you put your confidence in the days to come? I believe with each higher level of faith we attain, we also require a higher level of works. The Lord wants to show us greater things. Do you believe it? Jesus moves on behalf of those who are willing to step out to test their wings, to believe for the impossible. God made all things dependent upon your faith. And it only takes the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. Amen? If we have faith, we have all things. Without it, we have nothing. Many Christians are not willing to allow the Lord to bring change into their lives because they're fearful of something new. They're fearful of it. But I'm here to tell you that faith plus works equals miracles. Are you still with me, folks? You with me? Do you remember what God told Abraham? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, this is what he said. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God wants to use us, but he requires that we leave the former things, those things that keep us in a comfortable place. Those things that keep us emotionally sedated. I believe there's a lot of sedation going on today in this place. If you get any calmer, you're going to fall asleep. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, this verse is talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham did not let doubt control him. His doubt was not bigger than his faith. How do we do that? It's going to take a fresh approach toward renewing our mind. Amen? It's going to take strengthening of our Christian beliefs. It's going to take an adherence to the promises of the book. Amen? It's when we put these things into practice. It's going to take intercession. It's going to take the weapons of our warfare, that are the due diligence in using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen. We need to put these things into practice during our acts of service when we're out there asking God to lead us in as we take steps of faith. We have to put these things into practice to declare and show why you are a Christian. Why you expect God to perform miracles? You have to believe the promises. You have to believe His Word and not just accept it that you're not capable. You are capable. Jesus would have never given you this ministry if you weren't capable. He saw something in you and He called your name. And you responded. You responded. Do we want to give glory to God? Then we can't be two-faced. We can't put one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We need to give glory to God. Be what God expects us to be. Amen? Understand that what God said He would do, He will do. The place where God leads us, He promised He will provide. Somebody here going to have the courage, the spiritual courage, to step out in faith? Amen. Are you willing to leave the safety of the boat? Water's deep. Are you willing to serve the Master in a new way? See, I know we don't have water here to walk on. Got water to drink, and I think I'll have a sip. I know we don't have water to walk on. We're not sitting in a boat. But I think we can still tell the Lord something. I think we could lift our hands to heaven and tell the Lord, I have faith. I want to work for you. I'm stepping out of my boat this morning. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm going to bless you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to manifest your glory. I want to allow faith and works to operate in my life because I want to see some miracles. Amen. I don't care where we are. We can make those kind of statements to God and ask Him for the ability and the courage and the want to make those steps. You know, I remember a story Brother Larry Evans told us about him quitting smoking. He said, Lord, make me sick if you want me to quit smoking. Lord made him sick. Well, Lord will make you whatever if you ask Him. He'll give you the courage to step out or pay the consequences for staying where you are. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Maybe you need a miracle this morning. God's showing us that it's not just by faith as we've always been taught, but I'm not just talking about faith today. I'm talking about end results, the miracles. We need miracles. Hallelujah. We have faith to a level. We have faith to a level, folks. But we need to grow in faith. We need to be active. So, Jesus, I want my faith to increase. Want my faith to increase. I want miracles to be evident in my life. I want to step out of the normal. I've been doing this a long time, walking the Christian walk. And I've gotten comfortable many times. And in that comfort, you don't want to get out of it. You want to sit back and enjoy it. Does God want us to sit back and enjoy it? I don't believe He called us for that. I believe He called us to take on His ministry in the world. He was one man that touched a lot of people. But now He's got a world full of Christians to touch that many more. He died for all people, didn't He? So He'd like all people to be with Him. So why did He anoint us if we're just going to stay in our comfort zone? Why did He anoint us with faith, give us faith and ability to do works if we're just going to sit there and feel bad, have gloom and despair and agony on me, deep, dark depression and excessive misery? If that's what we're going to do, why did He even give us the gifts that He has? He wants us to take the faith that we have and get out there and be busy about His kingdom. Now, what does that entail? Could be anything. It's more in how you're doing something than what you're doing. Where is your heart in this ministry? If you're helping someone, is it because, oh, I've got to? Or are you showing the love of Jesus? What's your attitude toward this work? That's your Christian service. Attitude is probably another message. A lot of us have a stinking attitude. So, folks, faith plus works equals miracle. Amen. Faith plus works equals a miracle. God's got miracles for you and for the ones you minister to. You know, he writes down our names when we get saved. I know he does that in Lamb's Book of Life, but I believe he's got a diary of us going, working. I mean, well, God would be real busy doing that. Hey, he's God. I believe he's got a diary. And he might say, I hope they do this. He might say, Gabriel, go down there and prompt them into doing something. He gave us the blessings He has given us, the blessings of Abraham, so you and I could stand and believe His promises forever. Wow. A little water going to get in your eyes later. It's going to bother you. Wipe them. Look at Jesus again. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I think y'all need to go home, take a nap.